Radio.
In Sydney, more than 80 young people have kicked off 2013 with 2 weeks of prayer and formation at the Immaculata Mission School, which is held each year at St. Thomas Becket Parish, Lewisham. The event, which is hosted by the Sisters of the Immaculata, along with lay members of the Immaculata community, is now in its sixth year, and features talks on various aspects of the faith by speakers from Australia and abroad. Sarah caught up with the founder of the Immaculata community, Mother Mary Therese, to find out more.
So in 1998, when I became a Catholic in England and returned back to Australia, I came to Leichhardt and I was looking around for different prayer groups so that I could go deeper in my faith. And I couldn't find anything. And so before becoming a Catholic, I was very much in the world. And so I really needed the support of a community. And so I went and looked at a lot of parishes and I rang around a lot of parishes and couldn't find any youth group or any prayer group, really. So I was praying in the back of the church and I said, this is it. I can't do this anymore. I don't have anyone to share my faith with. You know, I give up. And I said to Our Lady, you need to find me something or, I can't continue this. Because a lot of my Catholic friends had a lot of different views than what I'd been taught when I was in England. For example, living with people as a Catholic is fine. Just lots of different things that were contrary to what I'd found when I, entered the church in England. So anyway, I really prayed at the back of the church and the parish priest came up to me at the end of Mass and he said, oh, there's someone from the Legion of Mary here. Would you like to meet them? Because I'd been asking him about a prayer group. So I started up with the Legion of Mary. And, there's quite a few young people in the Legion. One girl who was had left the Catholic Church and got into Buddhism for a while. So she'd had a massive conversion. So together we really helped support each other in our faith. And then, so this gave me a real heart for the parish and a heart to, maybe do something to bring about a sense of community. But I didn't have enough formation, so I did a mission school, a six-month mission school in the year 2000 in Lewisham. And this mission school was very interesting. It was advertised in the Catholic Church, but it was an ecumenical mission school, which I had no idea what ecumenical mission school was. And so it was made up about 80% Catholics, and the leader was actually Anglican. And so we had it here in the parish and we'd go to Mass every day and those who were, not Catholic would attend but they would not have Holy Communion. And so I had this very interesting time with many of the Catholics that we would argue about things. For example, Our Lady, faith alone, things like that. And here I am, this new Catholic, really struggling with these things. As I fell in love with the Catholic Church through being led into the church, through Our Lady, through the Rosary. Started praying the Rosary and it just, she really, just opened my heart to everything within the church. So I loved Eucharistic Adoration. I loved, I loved going to Holy Communion. I'd go to Mass every day, but the Catholics that were in there, they were just interested in Sunday Mass. They were into the Bible and they're into many things, but not into the sacraments. So, and I had this amazing experience in confession. So I was like, here are these, here's the pearl of great price. And, these young people don't know it. So often I would sit in the chapel and sometimes I'd even cry about it because it was so frustrating. because they really, they thought I was, they, some of them would say, oh, you're just like my mother. And I'm like, oh my gosh, back then I was much younger. But Father Michael asked if we could have Eucharistic adoration a couple of hours. And they didn't even know what it was. And the Protestant, he was so wonderful. He said, yes, I would like to have adoration. And I was like, yeah, we can have it all night, because I'd met these beautiful old people in that parish in Adelaide that were doing it all night. You know, they were retired and they would stay up all night and pray for the young people. And I was like, why don't we do that? So there was there wasn't much excitement about that, but there was another boy that one that supported me, and the Protestant. And he was like, yeah, we'll do all-night prayer, because that's what some of the Protestants do. So that Eucharistic adoration started in the mission school. So we do it once a week. And it was amazing, because what I couldn't do with all my arguments, you know, they started to fall in love with the Blessed Sacrament through the adoration. And then they started sitting in front of the chapel. It was actually they used to use a front room, unfortunately. It was a chapel. The chapel that we have in the convent was an office. And so we do it in the front room, and I just want to sit there all the time. And I had this one Protestant girl that started praying the rosary with me, wanted to become a Catholic. The Catholics were convincing her not to be a Catholic. So it gave me this real desire to teach young people about their faith, and it gave me a heart for parish renewal, because when you have a conversion, where do we go? We go to the parish, and if there's nothing there, we leave the parish, you know. So, and just seeing families. I remember seeing this man once with his two young kids, and they just had this thirst for learning more about the faith, and his wife wasn't interested, and he's like, I just need something, you know, we need something, I want to teach my daughters, you know, about the faith, and I couldn't help him at that time, and I was like, you know, it just made me so sad, and I had a real zeal in my heart for, getting out in the parish just to be able to help catechize. So anyway, after the mission school finished, I ended up in Western Australia doing a counselling school, because I did psychology at uni, and so I wanted to do some Christian counselling. And then after that, when I left, the mission school was continuing on here, but they stopped doing adoration, they stopped going to Mass as much, so Father Michael asked me to come back, and I prayed about it, and because he loved adoration and I knew, you know, he would support me, we had the same wavelength, so I came back and said I couldn't do much, but I can certainly set up adoration, and so we started promoting adoration. And it was incredible, because a lot of the parishioners didn't know what adoration was. And we had this beautiful priest from Western Australia, Father Doug, that came out and talked to the parish about Eucharistic adoration and said, you know, would you not watch 1 hour with him? And so this started in the parish. We started doing 40 hours of adoration in the weekend. Many people thought it was just going to be for 1 week, but little did they know that, now 13 years on, well, nearly 13 years on, we've had Eucharistic adoration in this parish 12 years. And unfortunately, this is the last weekend. But it's been a great blessing. And so what happened was, when I started here, I thought, well, I know two things that are important for renewal in the church. Number one is prayer, because prayer opens our heart to God. And then, you know, once we do that and make Christ the center by putting Eucharistic adoration, you know, at the forefront, that God does the rest, because when we adore our Lord, you know, it's amazing what happens. You know, when we started Eucharistic Adoration in the parish, people started, you know, they'd be bending on both knees when they come into Mass. You know, we do a holy hour before Mass, and so people come a little bit earlier and start to pray. Started doing a rosary before Mass, so people started praying the rosary and discovering more of the life of Christ with, you know, through the prayer of Mary. And then young people started to want to know a little bit more about, you know, I suppose, what we were doing. And at that time, when I came, we had the opportunity of going to World Youth Day in Canada, and Father asked me if I would send a couple of young people. So he said to me, I don't want them to just go on a holiday. They need preparation. So when we prayed about it, we felt that to prepare them, to really take them deeper, we would do 3 hours. So it would stop them, and we'd put it during the week, break it up a bit, so that they would be able to be a bit more present to God in their lives, to be able to sit in the silence, and also, you know, teaching them prayer. So they started getting a regular prayer life. It's amazing how their life started to change. And then once a week we had faith formation. And through that, we were able to take 12 young people to World Youth Day. And through that experience, that six-month formation, they had a zeal to want to come and give something back to the parish. And that's actually how the community evolved. I never even thought about a community. I just thought I needed to get a group of young people to form them so that they would help be the you know, the foot soldiers to, you know, like the harvesters, which are labours of you, to help sort of, you know, bring life to the parish. So Sister Mary Emanuel began to commit music ministry. Sister Frances Mary, she volunteered for youth ministry, as so did Patrick, you know, and, you know, different people, Clayton, they all volunteered to do a holy hour in the parish each week. And so it began through that. And so it was really a work of the Spirit. And then, and before we left, we all prayed, and I got, you know, actually it was a girl called Miriam. I had the name Immaculata, and I was like, oh, that's a great name. And she shared a bit about Maximilian Kolbe to the young people, and they thought that was wonderful. So that's how, and obviously everything for us was to Jesus through Mary. So that's how the community evolved.
And now you've been blessed with some beautiful sisters.
Yes.
So the Sisters of the Immaculata have been formed. Could you tell us a bit about your apostolate and specifically the mission school that's now being run here?
Yes. That's a good question. So being a sister is something I really is left of centre. It is really, that really was a work of our Lord, because all I wanted to do was, you know, really, you know, I wanted to build a sense of community, and I thought it was in the laity. Because, you see, I never thought of religious life, but it's such an amazing gift. It's like, it's so amazing, because I didn't even know what religious life was. I'd never met a religious. So I never even knew, you know, because I wasn't a Catholic. I never grew up with religious. I never even thought of religious. So the fact that I became a religious, it's just such a wonderful gift. And that really happened, just supernaturally. I felt a call. And I, as I mentioned before, I went and had a couple of relationships, but Jesus was always number one. And so they sort of, whilst I wanted to be loved, no one could love me like Jesus. And during that time, I started feeling called. Sister Frances Mary started feeling called. So, you know, the call just kept getting stronger and stronger. and I would look around at different communities, and but there was nothing, you know, that was, you know, I felt drawn to parishes, to adoration in parishes, and to and particularly in a Marian, with the Marian focus, you know, the rosary, very simple, and also, you know, forming, you know, Catholics within the parish and their faith, and also we really have a heart to, you know, educate young Catholics, give them a love for their faith, because they're the life and the vitality of the church. They're the ones that, you know, they just bring so much to the parish, and it's their parish, and they don't often know, and they're the ones that really bring the fire. So yeah, so I was looking around for different communities, and I found a beautiful French community, the community of Saint John, and but you know, they aren't, they're very broad, their evangelization isn't parish based. And so I talked to Sister Brunson Mary. I said, what do you think, maybe we could do something? And she said, no way, there's no way we're going to start anything up. And so I had a very big cry, and I went in the chapel, and then Father Elias, who is a good friend of mine in the community of St. John, was here during World Youth Day, and he kept saying, go see Bishop Porteous. And, you know, another brother, Jovan, would say the same thing at different times. And I just kept praying. And after World Youth Day, we were helping out a parish weekend, you know, with the bishop. And so I just went up to him when he was sitting in the pew, and the bishop, I feel like I might have a vocation. And he grabbed me and said, like he does, come and see me. So I freaked out a bit. And then after a couple of days, I, you know, was praying to Our Lady's Seat of Wisdom. After a few days, I rang up and booked an appointment with the bishop. And he, I'd mentioned a few of the communities. And I said, you know, I don't feel I have what it takes to, you know, to be able to start something of my own. So we thought maybe the community of St. John, and I mentioned a couple of other communities, and he said, you're not called to the community of St. John, and you're not called to being a Carmelite. He said, yeah, I feel that you're called to something, start something within your own, within the lay community, because you're, this is a real work of the Spirit, and that he'd seen a lot of new ecclesial communities, you know, really come to life, and then out of that evolve religious life. So I felt deep peace about that until he said, you know, you're going to suffer. I had a little cry, and then, you know, what is it? No gain without pain. So, I felt peace about that. So I went back, and it's funny, I made a time to meet Sister Frances Mary and Sister Mary Emanuel for tea and coffee, you know, just at a cafe, just to share with them what the bishop said. And so I shared with them, and they were both happy. And Sister Frances Mary said, you know, I feel peace about that. I want to join you. So that's how we started. So our community is Marian, it's Eucharistic, and very open to the Holy Spirit. And we have the vows of, we have a fourth vow, and that is love. So poverty, chastity, obedience, and the fourth vow is love. As you know, our charism is about spiritual renewal in parishes and faith formation. So it's along the same lines as the lay community, except for we're obviously, you know, we're called to become one with Christ. He becomes our beloved. He's my spouse. And what a great gift that is. and so that I can completely love him. And we really focus on Mary at the feet of Jesus. So often I feel like Martha, but we do minimum of 2.5 hours of adoration each day, do 1.5 hours in the morning, and that's in silence. And then in the evening we do a rosary together, and we also do prayers of intercession, so that we really pray for the renewal in the parish. We pray, obviously, for the church hierarchy, just to bless and guide them. And then we also have adoration in our parish. So we might do 3.5 hours sometimes of adoration, and still I don't feel it's enough. So it's really needed. Prayer's really needed. It's what tills the soil. And you mentioned a little bit about the that we have 82 young people on the mission school. And the reason we have the mission school is really, you know, our theme is to know God, to love God, and to make Him known. And, you know, our aim is to get young people that really aren't categorized, don't know much about the faith. So we go into parishes, and many of the kids, honestly, they really know nothing. And it's often, you know, they get to 16, 17, or they go to university, and then they leave. So we want to get them before that, so that we can, number one, they can learn about the faith, because they can't love what they don't know. And also, we really want them to know they're loved, and what a gift they are. And so that they will really know the purpose of life and the meaning of life, and to know how necessary they are in bringing renewal in the parish. Sometimes they don't even think they're wanted. So we want them to know that they are wanted and that they are loved. And so, you know, our aim is just to really help them to be able to, you know that they're loved and to be open to receiving God's love. Really, we teach them about the gift of the church. We start with, you know, really building that relationship with God. Some of them have some distorted images of who God is because of hurts and all sorts of things. So we want to show them that God is love. And then once they're open to God's love, and then they're really open to the teachings of the church, so then we start teaching them about why the Catholic Church and why Mary matters. We teach them about the importance of Scripture, the sacraments, and daily they do a holy hour, so that they, you know, this really helps them to open their heart to God. And what He does in that hour is incredible, because you see it after 2 weeks. You know, you just need to give them to Jesus, and Jesus does the rest. And we also teach them how to pray the rosary, and we try to, you know, really giving them that daily rhythm of prayer, hopefully will carry on when they've finished after the 2 weeks, because you really start to learn a habit, you know, and, you know, develop a discipline. So in the last few days we teach them, help them discover, you know, the gifts, their gifts and talents. So we have hospitality and drama and music and art, and, you know, all these are so important. And some people think, oh, you know, I can't do anything. And then they get in the kitchen, they learn how to cook something. And, you know, Jesus often met people at the table, you know, and to know that they can do something. And if it's handing out a bulletin at the beginning of Mass and giving someone a big smile and welcoming them in the parish, that's a big thing, especially in our parishes, you know. Because sometimes you don't get a smile, you might get a growl. You're sitting in my pew, sort of thing, so move over. But, yes, so really want them to really to be loved, you know, to be loved and to be loved.
The highlight would be the evangelization, when we went out to Hyde Park, and it just really brought home to me like how much of a need there is for evangelization in Australia especially. And yeah,
it's beautiful to meet other people who are also strong witnesses to the faith in their actions and in their words. And I just keep coming back because it's so refreshing to start the year. It's the best way to start the year.
The friendships that I've made here and the talks are really good.
I'm just going to say that the adoration has been amazing. It's just adoration every morning after breakfast just put you in the zone the whole day. And yeah, it's just it uplifts you.
Major highlights, I reckon, was going out to Hyde Park yesterday and doing evangelisation.
I'm thankful that I've learnt how to pray from my heart with a true prayer and true faith.
I've been always passionate about my faith, but previously it's really been something intellectual, like it's something I know my faith, like I study it, it's something I kind of learn in my head. But since mission school, I've really had an appreciation for just praising God for His own sake, so putting my heart in it as well. And the Immaculata School is just full of adoration and praise and worship, and everything centered on God, so it really fosters that.
For those who missed out on this year's Mission School, we're very excited to be bringing you some of the highlights right here on Cradio, so stay tuned. If you'd like to find out more about the Immaculata Community, visit www.immaculatacommunity.org or www.sistersoftheimmaculata.org.au. For more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.